You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. We turn our focus now to the events of Good Friday as recorded in Mark chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." The chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, literally 600 troops. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, he spoke 7 times from the cross. Let's understand that each time was significant, instructive, and beneficial. So today, we're going to look at the 4 gospel accounts and do so in chronological order as we consider the 7 things he said. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink. What was going on there? Why did he refuse? The wine and gall were offered in order to ease his suffering, but Jesus wanted to remain fully alert. He wanted to fully suffer the physical, the mental, the spiritual anguish of the cross, all things that we deserve, so he refused to drink. The Bible says that there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They crucified him. That means that Roman soldiers drove nails through his hands and feet. Nails probably about this size, and can you imagine having your hand stretched out upon a piece of wood and then having a nail? Driven right through your flesh in order to fix you to that piece of wood. The pain was excruciating. But Jesus had no thought of revenge. Amazingly, no thought of revenge. Instead, he asked his Father to forgive them. We are also called to forgive as we have been forgiven. Not so easy. But the more we ponder God's forgiveness to us and the reasons why God has extended forgiveness to us, then we are equipped, we are empowered, we are instructed then to forgive as we have been forgiven. The Bible continues and tells us it was the third hour when they crucified him. So according to Jewish time, that would have been somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning. The Bible goes on and says that they took his clothes, dividing them into 4 shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Think for a few moments about the topic of crucifixion. It wasn't done in some kind of a secret place, but it was done high up on a hill, and the Romans did it as a factor of intimidation. They wanted to keep the people under control by crucifying those who were out of line, who were going against the Romans. Basically, Rome was saying, in this case with Jesus, Rome was saying to the people, "Hey, how about you? You want to be the next king? Fine. Go ahead and take steps in that direction, and we'll put you up there on a hill on a cross as well." That's what they were trying to do with this crucifixion. And then Pilate, to show that he did not approve what these Jewish leaders were doing. In other words, Pilate had questioned Jesus. He believed he was innocent. He didn't even want to go through with it, but the Jewish leaders had pushed him into it. So in order to show that he was not happy with them, he told them, "I'm going to keep the sign the way it is. It's going to say, 'King of the Jews.'" Isn't it interesting that by him using that approach, he actually told the truth about Jesus? He is the King of the Jews. Think back to when the wise men came into Jerusalem, and what did they say? They were looking for the newborn king. And now the newborn king has grown up, and now he is on the cross, and now he's being crucified. Yes, the King of the Jews, but even more than that, the King of Kings, the King of the universe. That is who Jesus is. The Bible goes on and says, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God.' In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Who was it that hurled the insults? Did you pick up on that? It was the chief priests, teachers, and elders, those who simply passed by, and it was also both of the robbers. All those different people were insulting our Savior. In most accounts of what Jesus said from the cross, I found that people have Jesus addressing the criminal on the cross prior to addressing his mother and John. I don't believe that's accurate, and I want to share with you three reasons why I don't think that is accurate. Number one, both robbers were initially mocking Jesus. Both of them were. And then, think about what has happened so far. Jesus has said, Father, forgive them. And then I believe he had the exchange with his mother and also with John. And the robber would have not only heard about the forgiveness, but he would have seen how kindly Jesus was toward his mother in making sure that she would be taken care of by John. And the third one I think is most important. The Bible records that when Jesus made the wonderful statement to the criminal about him being in paradise that day, the Bible records that he did not say that statement until very close to noon. And why is that significant? Because at noon, there was darkness and there was silence for 3 hours. So it makes so much sense that he spoke to the criminal third and not second. Coming to the second thing that Jesus spoke, we go to the Gospel of John, and it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Keep in mind, Jesus was the oldest son, so he had the responsibility to take care of his mother. However, he wouldn't be on earth in order to do that any longer, so he passed that responsibility on to John, his closest friend. Why not pass it on to one of his other brothers? Well, they were not there. They didn't believe in him, and the family was divided at that time. Coming to the third word, we go to the Gospel of Luke. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. So this darkness was from noon until 3 o'clock. Right before that time, isn't it amazing how much God loves us? We would think that God would conclude that that criminal, a very rotten man being crucified for his crimes, let's just let him go. He deserves to go to hell. Let's just let him go to hell. That's not how God is. God has such love, and his love is because of who he is, not because of who we are. It's so hard for us to understand that. So often, our love for others is based on something in them. But for God, though, his love is based on something in him because of who he is. So with this one criminal, God enabled him to see his sin. God enabled him to be sorry for his sin. God enabled him to confess his sin. And God enabled him to believe in Jesus as his Savior. And then Jesus assured him that that very day he would be in heaven. He would be in paradise. Now we come to the fourth thing that Jesus spoke from the cross. Going to Mark chapter 15, the Bible says, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he's calling Elijah.' So at the ninth hour, approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus spoke those words, and he spoke them in Aramaic. But the people there, though, they were familiar with several languages, and they knew what he said. When we talk about crucifixion being a stumbling block to the Jews, why is that true? Because the Jews understand that anyone who is crucified is literally separated from God, and they concluded that there's no way that the promised Messiah could be literally separated from God. But let's understand, though, what's going on. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that our sins, all sins of the entire world, they were put upon Jesus. And then the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59, it says that our sins separate us from God. So when our sins were put on Christ, they separated him from God. And that's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, why have we been separated from each other? It's because of our sins. And then going even further, it tells us in Galatians chapter 3, that we deserve to be cursed, but yet Jesus became a curse for us. We should never try to lessen what happened to him. What happened to him was horrible, but it was all for us. It was all for our salvation. Coming to the fifth thing that Jesus spoke from the cross, we go to John chapter 19. So that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Part of the reason why that happened is because the Bible said it would happen. So everything the Bible says will come true. The other part of the reason why it happened is because Jesus was about ready to make the most important announcement that had ever been made or ever would be made to the entire world. Now coming to the sixth word Jesus spoke, Going back to John 19, the Bible says, "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.'" What was Jesus doing? He was declaring that he is the winner. He was declaring his victory over sin, over death, over the devil. God wants everyone to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in human flesh, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the only way to God the Father in heaven. And God is calling everyone to repent, to believe in him, and to be with God forever blessed. And now we come to the final thing that Jesus spoke from the cross. Going to Luke 23, the Bible says, "Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last." Think about the seven things that Jesus said. The first thing he said and the last thing he said, he addressed God as Father. In between, he addressed God as God, because that was a time of separation because of our sins. However, though, God restored him in the end. He paid our full penalty, and in the end, he was again restored in his relationship with God. What about us? Because of the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, it broke, it ruined, it destroyed the relationship with God for them and for all subsequent people who would come into the world. But what Jesus did, though, by his finished work, he restored the relationship. God wants us to know that it is restored for everyone, but the problem is most people are not receiving it. Most people are not receiving the benefits of it, but the work has been done. Let's rejoice that we have the benefits, and let's go and tell others the good news of what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Finally, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27 what happened as soon as Jesus died. "At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely, he was the Son of God.'" Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, fill us with thanksgiving for your great love for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, at any moment you could have said, "No, it hurts too much. I won't go through with it." And yet you did. You went all the way to the end for us. Make us thankful. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill us, that you would get a hold of us, that you would grow us in our relationship with the Father and the Son, that you would help us according to every need, that you would keep us in the one true faith. And all God's people said, Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.